I just want to say good morning to everyone. And before we get started, wanted to just give a quick introduction to our speaker today, Josh Umla. He is, I believe, the executive director? Yes, at the Transformation Project, which is right here in Westbrook on Main Street. I'm going to let him share about exactly what that is. So if you're not familiar with that, you'll hear a little bit about that. I don't know Josh well, but I know of him. We've been in the same room a few times. Todd and I have had the privilege and honor to be able to lead worship at their community nights of worship there a handful of times. And so we've been able to kind of see what happens in the place and hear about the going on there and really just the work that they do, the lives that are changed. And it really is such a wonderful organization and just filled with such love and support, encouragement. And we've been able to hear stories from the men that come through there and really see the impact that this organization and the people that are part of it have on these men. And Todd and I have been able to hear these testimonies. And Josh and Angel have actually attended a few of these community nights with us as well. And truly the impact, even, you know, for us that are just sitting there listening to these stories, we go home and we talk about them with each other and, you know, have thoughts and conversations between the four of us about these testimonies. They really are so impactful. And anyway, it's been a blessing to just be a small witness to that. And anyway, I hope that you guys are ready to hear something amazing this morning and hear about this awesome project that they have going on and what they're doing in our community and for our men. So before Josh comes up, we're just gonna start with some prayer this morning. Well, Lord, I just thank you so much for this place that we have to come together, Lord, to hear your word, to hear what you're doing in people's lives, and to be able to lift these songs and this music up to you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that it would bless you and that you would be honored and glorified through not only the singing and the music, Lord, but, Lord, that you would be glorified in the stories that are shared, in how you're working in people's lives, and how you're transforming our hearts, Lord, to be more like Jesus. And I just thank you for this ministry of the Transformation Project. I thank you for the opportunity for Josh to be able to be here and share about it. And I just pray, Lord, that you would bless this time, and Lord, that our hearts would be open to hearing what you have for us today. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
All right, what a fitting song, for sure. No stranger to prison. A lot of our guys, no stranger to prison, no stranger to jails. But the important part is all of our hope is in Jesus. There was actually a couple, we have these shirts, Freedom, Hope, and Transformation. It was either Freedom, Hope, and Transformation or Jesus Changes Everything. It was going to be one of the two. Next time it will be that one. But all of our hope is in Jesus, 100%. And so we'll talk about the Transformation Project today. But that is just a vehicle that God is using to change people's lives. Jesus is everything. And so thank you guys for having me. What a gift it is to be able to come and share and to be before you guys. And Scott reached out midweek and said, hey, not feeling well. Could you fill in? And so here we are. today you'll hear a little bit about the Transformation Project. You'll hear some of my story and some story from one of the other guys. So I'm going to pray myself. Can't pray enough. Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for loving us so much that you came after us. Thank you for loving us so much that you don't leave us where you found us either, that you continue the work that you started as you promised, Lord, and that you fill us with your Spirit, that we could have new life, that we could be new creations, that we can be forgiven, that you forget our sins as far as the east is from the west, Lord. And so I just ask that you would just be here. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to be in our hearts and our minds, Lord, that you would speak through us, that you would whisper in our ears the truth, that the veil of our eyes would be lifted, that we would not believe lies, Lord, but that we would know what is true. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, I'm Josh. I'm the executive director of the Transformation Project, and I'm a former resident of the Transformation Project as well. And again, that's just a testament to who Jesus Christ is and a testament to the work that he's doing through the ministry of the Transformation Project. And a lot of times I share, so a few of you guys have heard me share before, so you might hear some of the same things, but one of the things that I do like to share is that whether or not I was the executive director of the Transformation Project, whether it was my job title or not, I would still be doing this sort of work. God has burned something in my heart to want to see people and lives transformed in Jesus' name. There was a life raft sent for me, and I want to be on that raft for other people and hold the torch and say, hey, there's another way, and it's Jesus. And so again, what an honor. So the Transformation Project is a recovery and reentry ministry that offers freedom, hope, and transformation through Christian discipleship. And so we are a safe place for recovery, for guys that are looking to do life differently, coming out of with life-altering substances or addiction, and a safe place, a reentry. What does that mean? It means for a safe place for guys to come when they're coming out of jails and institutions, and start to rebuild their lives. And so by confronting the cycles of addiction and incarceration head on, we're breaking their bonds and forming men of character, integrity, and purpose, strong and effective followers of Christ. And these guys are becoming present and reliable husbands, fathers, sons, and leaders, the very fabric of our communities, through the power of Jesus. And as we've been changed, and as they change, they impact their families, again, their communities, and the world. And so it starts with one person, you know. So before I really get into it, and I'm gonna look at the time. So I have a lot to say, but I wanna honor your time, and I also wanted some time for Oscar. But so I just want to say though, this is not just a presentation. As you listen, I want you really, if you would, consider some of the things that I'm saying. Even as I share some of my own story, it's always good for me when I'm hearing other people to just think of, like, how can I apply this in my own life? You know, because some of these things that we talk about, maybe it's not addiction or incarceration, right? But maybe it's like life-controlling lies and ideas or different things like that. So, and also, it's an invitation because God calls us to be his hands and his feet, right? And so there's plenty of opportunity. And it sounds like from sitting with Scott and knowing a little bit about this church, you guys are a church that honors and the least of these, right? And so there's always opportunity for us to go out and to love, to get out of our own little bubbles and go help other people, right? And so there might be an opportunity here for you. So we don't have to look far. I'm just going to give you a couple boring statistics. Well, not boring, but statistics, so bear with me. But I shouldn't say boring because they're not. They're very impactful. But so we don't have to look very far to see that addiction and incarceration is an issue, right? Especially here in southern Maine, especially here in the Portland area, where it's really challenging and difficult. Some of us are our own selves. Some of us are children. Some of us are a family member or... Again, you don't have to go too far. So in 2022, Maine Behavioral Health reported 22,000 people were admitted for substance use disorder, and 65% of those were men. 2022, there were 10,000 overdoses, and nearly 800 were fatal. And that was just in Maine. So in 2022, also, there was about 16,000 crimes committed by individuals, and 73% of those were committed by men. And so these are important statistics based on the work that we're doing, because we believe that if we can help men change, again, they can go and impact their families first and then their communities. So when it comes to recidivism, and that's kind of a word I actually, even coming into this ministry, didn't know what that meant. But what that means is when somebody goes into jail and they come out, it's very likely that they're going to go back in. So they just continue the same cycle, and we're trying to break that pattern. You know, so we look at the big picture and we say, how can we interject into that and be helpful and just to stop it? You know, and so with that said, in 2012, it's an older study, but Bureau of Justice Statistics studied, tracked prisoners released across 34 U.S. states, found that 71% were rearrested within 5 years. That's a pretty large statistic. So again, the stories you're going to hear today are our stories, but ultimately they're Jesus' testimony. They're his story. And so I'm very grateful for, again, his pursuit of me and for these men. So growing up, I'm going to share my testimony. Growing up, I was born in Massachusetts into a family I was loved very much. My parents loved me very much. Wonderful, wonderful people. But they had their own issues, and it was a struggle. I was born into an alcoholic, abusive family, and I even as I stand here today, I wouldn't say that that's the reason why I ended up being addicted and having the issues that I had. Because sometimes you could have a family that has everything that looks perfect from the outside. It's more of an internal thing, and so this is not an excuse for the things that happened. But that's what it looked like for me—a broken family. So my family would end up being broken. My parents were divorced, and so I was sort of, after having heard the gospel in an Assembly of God church when I was about 8 years old, sorry, I saw that picture, I was like, ooh. So it is. So after having, I'll let you know, but after having that experience, I didn't really have any direction because I didn't have, my family was kind of broken. My mom was working all the time, and I became a street kid, a town kid, and I was just kind of doing my thing. You know, we found all kinds of ways to get into trouble, and it only progressed through the years. And I'm going to sort of spare some of the details about exactly what that looked like, but it wasn't pretty. And so this is today. I really felt when I was preparing for this message, I really felt the focus needed to be in the area of like what it looked like in grade school for me. And so I just want to share. So like as I entered into grade school, my father had left, and here I am sitting there thinking like, and I didn't realize this then, but like, man, is there something wrong? Did I do something? Could I have done something different to for him to stick around instead, right? And I think that whether that had happened or not, I think that we're all and all generally trying to find affirmation. We want to be loved. We want to be a part of. We were made for connection, right? And so whether that had happened or not, but that did happen. And so that caused me to go out move towards the world to seek and find my affirmation. And I began to build my identity outside of Jesus Christ. I began to, rather than to accept my identity from him because he created me, he already knows who I am. It's not something that I build up. I began to build it outside of him. And so so I just want to say, too, when I say moving toward the world, this doesn't mean I just started doing bad things, which I did, right? Well, what I mean is that I started to believe different messages about who I am and what made me valuable. Instead of I'm loved because God says that I am. I started to think I'm loved because I'm impressive. I'm loved because people approve of me. And so I just started to perform. And I didn't know this at the time. Now looking back, I recognize that I started to perform. I started to, what sort of things would people say, wow, you know? And so having done that, I became a chameleon. So I could be sort of the funny guy, I could be the tough guy, I could be the guy that the girls thought was cool, I could be, you know, I was good at sports. I could do whatever, or I could be sort of in the tough crowd, or I could actually do well in school when I wanted to as well. And so instead of being true to who I was, I became strategic. And so sort of strength and stoicism and whatever became my mask, right? This is where it's really important for me. So, and I think that the Lord was revealing this to me last night as I was preparing, because sometimes I'll say I started to move towards the world. What does that actually mean, right? And so for me, it's even as I prepare, he begins to show me more and more what that actually means, right? Because I could still do that today, 100%, you know? So the world says, don't be weak, don't need anyone, be tough, be independent, be impressive, right? It's tiring. So again, I became stoic, hard-hearted, calloused, right? I have an image in my mind that C.S. Lewis talks about your heart being put in a box, right? But in that box, it does become unbreakable, but no longer the sunlight of the Spirit is able to work. So yeah, it's unbreakable, but I'm not able to love out this way. Proud, right? Arrogant, emotionally distant from people, because I've put up this veneer to protect myself, right? Disconnected and selfish, for sure. You know, and I would even justify that selfishness. Yeah, I just, you know, entitled and selfish, and like I deserve that, and I mean, I just go after it, and it's just gonna be the thing. And so, underneath all that strength, was the fear of not being good enough. What if I don't get first in the state championship wrestling tournament? Right? What if I don't get an A? What if my girlfriend's not the cutest girl in the school, right? That sort of stuff. I believe those lies, excuse me. So comparison is constant. There's nothing good in that, it's death. So again, living that way was exhausting. It was hard, anxiety, because approval can be lost as well, like I said. One minute, it's like people are celebrating you, the next minute, it's like you feel like you've faded into the background, now I got to do something. So it's very, very anxiety. So isolation, because no one knows who I really am, right? At the end of the day. When I'm in that place and I'm isolated because I can't really be myself. I wasn't being myself. And then eventually that would lead to addiction, right? Because I need relief. Like, this is hard. This is difficult. This is tough stuff. So again, I ended up with this strong exterior, right? Strong exterior, but absolutely broken on the inside. Eventually just broken on the inside. Again, just very fragile and broken on the inside. So I was constantly chasing the next thing to get that sort of the fleeting pleasures of the world that would kind of give me some affirmation or just feel good, you know? So parties, alcohol, drugs, I would get into. You can actually put that slide up now if you want. So it's tough to look at that. The guy on the right is, I mean, but either one. One of them is very angry. The other on the right is very, there's not much going on there. I ended up in places where I shared this at the banquet we just recently had. But like, I remember I was constantly in fights too. Because again, like I said, I at a certain point I started to get in fights because I was a town kid. And so that was kind of part of my persona. But I ended up like literally almost losing the tip of my nose. If you look close enough, there's, you know, I almost lost the tip of my nose in one fight. And I was drunk at the time. I had been drinking. And it's funny how in these situations, we're like, you know, this happened because of this, like not really looking at, you know, what the truth was about it, that, you know, alcohol is obviously a problem, you know. And so I'm just going to fast forward. Into my 30s. So again, feeling like I had to prove myself, that love was earned, success, image, and strength is what defined a man in this culture, right? Those are the things I have to be. Still drinking, still smoking weed. I thought that when I was just doing those two things, I was okay. That was a lie that I believed. I had already done all kinds of other different drugs, just sort of as party drugs, but it didn't become a lifestyle at that point. So I thought, you know, if I'm just doing those things, I'm good. Because the world, especially even now, it's like, oh yeah, it's fine. You can smoke weed, it's legal now. And you can drink, that's legal too, you know? But I didn't realize it was killing me. And it was killing me for many reasons. Physically, of course, I was putting myself in harm's way. I was destroying all sort of relationships. But I was also, again, broken on the inside. I wasn't ever able to deal with anything that was going on in there because I would mask it with drugs and alcohol. And you could mask, as we all know, we can mask it with other things as well. So here I am, no purpose, no direction, getting into all kinds of trouble. I was a ship without a rudder. And this is where I thought at a certain point, this is just how life's going to be. You know, I joke about this. I usually don't get to me it's funny, but I thought when I was 30 years old, like this is it, this is the end of life. Like 30 years is old or something, right? At that time. And I was like, so I thought, okay, I'm 30. This is just, I'm just resigned to the fact that, you know, this is how my life is going to be. And so I kind of got into that attitude of like, well, screw it. I'll just go sort of wheels off. And I started doing pills. And pills led to doing fentanyl. And fentanyl led to IV using fentanyl. So I was using a needle. And I was overdosing constantly. I had friends dying around me. And then I thought, you know, I'll do my very best to kick this, and I'll just start doing meth instead, because that's better, right? And this is the insanity, right? And guess what? I ended up just mixing the two together and doing both, you know? And it was crazy. It was really, really, really bad. I was homeless, I was starving, I was, you see, you know, my face is all picked because I was picking my face. I was 140 pounds in that picture on the right. You can't really see, but that shirt, I'd be wearing that shirt now and I would probably be tight on me. The sleeve was literally like hanging off, you know. So it got really bad. So again, I mentioned it becoming a lifestyle. At this point, it had become a lifestyle. I wasn't working. I was just moving from fix to fix, basically. I ended up becoming a felon. I was stealing, you know, breaking into places and stealing. Again, I would do things like go into a store and just walk in and take a slice of pizza because I was starving. You know, I would find myself in abandoned barns, freezing, like thinking to myself, like, how did I get here? You know, it was terrible. So I'm going to fast forward a little bit. So what ended up happening is I was wanted by the police. I was always wanted by the police, and I would somehow always seem to get away. But this time I came into the town where I grew up and wanted by the police. They knew who I was, and I surrendered. I was totally, I knew God was pursuing me, and he was saying, Joshua, like, just stop, you know. He allowed me to get to a place where I finally said, had enough, done. So I walked into town, came into the Cumberland Farms, and I don't know how this happened so quickly, but they were literally there. I think I walked in the door, turned around, and he was like right there, and I was just like, what the heck, you know. It was so wild. And instead of running, I was like, here we go. So I'm in the back of this police cruiser. It's like, man, the Holy Spirit just came over me. I was like, okay, here we go. This is the beginning, you know? And you wouldn't think that being in the back of a police cruiser, you'd have peace, but I had peace. And so that became the beginning of my recovery journey. And I'd like to say that it was just all straight up, but that's not the case. It was kind of like this. So if you have anybody who's in it that's like, they've got some time and then maybe something happens, just hang on. You know, God's continuing to work things out, you know. So what ended up happening is I went to different programs. I find myself here in Maine. I start working through the 12 steps and allowing God to change me through those. I used to think like I had this like contempt prior to investigation about the 12 steps. I didn't really understand them. I didn't really know what they were, but I do now, and I recognize Jesus said, if anybody wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And I'll tell you right now, so as I begin to work through those and look at myself, right, it helps me to make room for God in my life. And so I began to change. And what happened was, is I ended up out, again, sparing some of the details, I ended up on the Appalachian Trail. And I had talked to somebody here at the Transformation Project before I had left. But I thought, you know, I have a couple years of sobriety. I'm gonna go back to New Hampshire, and I'm gonna do it my way, you know. And I believe that lie, and I believe that drugs actually were the only thing that were my issue. It wasn't alcohol, so I drank. And I'm out on the Appalachian Trail. I get a call from the executive director at the time, and he says, "Hey, would you pray about being part of this program?" I said, "Hey, I'm not. You know, I'm not sober, right?" He's like, "Yeah, I know." And I truly, it was such a powerful moment for me because I knew that God was using that man to say, "I know. That's not, I came after you in your sin. I don't need you to be all put together, right? It's not like get it together and then come follow me." He's like, so it was just really powerful. So sure enough, I finished the Appalachian Trail. I came to the Transformation Project in August of 2021. And there's a song that, I don't know if you, any of you guys have Facebook, but I do, and I try not to use it all that much, but anyways. And there's like a spot where you can kind of put a scripture. For me, it was like, it's really powerful. Because when I read it, I was like, yes, this is it. It says, Psalm 27:8, when you said, "Seek my face," my heart said to you, "Your face, O Lord, I shall seek." Right? So even when I, my fears, my concerns, my worries, my heart is drawn and focused on him. He has my heart, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. And so the time that I spent at the Transformation Project, the residents had just really started to get going, and we were starting to build the program and stuff like that. So I had a big part in doing all that. And I had a couple pastoral mentors, which was amazing. I had people in my life who were keeping me accountable. I had, again, I began to go through the work again. And I'll get into a little bit more about the program here in a minute. But it was absolutely transformational for me. Support the community, right? Just having a group of people to be able to that love me. And it's just really good. And so... So when Jesus came after me, he didn't just come to rescue me from my sin. He came to rescue me from my false identity, from the lies that I believe, from the agreements that I made about myself. And he took and he takes his sin upon himself, my sin upon himself, and our sin upon himself, so that we can be free. Because God is a good and just God. Some people go, "Well, what the heck? Why didn't he just say, yeah, you know?" But he's just. He can't just turn a blind eye. So there had to be a payment, and Jesus is that payment. And so it's like going into the courtroom, and they say, "I come in. Yep, he was caught for speeding, or he was caught for who knows what. But hey, Josh, your fine's been paid. You can go home. Go live. Go do your thing." And that's what Jesus did for me, and that's what he does for all of us if we accept it. So he offers us union with the Father. We can be in union and communion with the Father. And so when I'm grounded in Christ, I don't have to prove anything. I don't have to impress anybody. I don't have to hide my weaknesses, which is awesome, right? Because a lot of times it's helpful for other people to hear, like, oh man, yeah, I've been going through that same thing. But I don't have to perform for love. I'm loved just the way that I am. And it's a beautiful thing. And so that causes me to love because I'm loved. I serve because I'm secure in who I am. I lead because I'm submitted. It's not me running around trying to do my thing. I'm like, okay, God, the best that I can. So by the way, I don't have this all figured out. Right? He's continuing, thank God, to work in my life. But when I'm submitted to him, it's a beautiful thing when I just allow him to work. And that doesn't mean that I become the hole in the donut, as they say in AA. Right? Because and I'll get into this actually right now. It's perfect. C.S. Lewis says this, the more we let God take us over, the more truly ourselves we become, because he made us. He invented all the different people that you and I are intended to be. It's when I turn myself totally to Christ, when I give myself up to him, his personality, that I first begin to have a real personality of my own, right? So I submit and surrender my life to him, I become who he created me to be. I don't have to pretend to be this over here. I don't have to pretend to be that over there. Right? He already knows who I am. He created me. And so I become that person. And so the world says, again, become someone. Jesus says, receive who you are in me. And so who is that for me? And for us. Bless you. A chosen race and a royal priesthood. Do I believe that? There's some days I don't. But when I do, it's a pretty amazing thing. It says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm free. We were just singing about that. I'm free. Free to be standing here and talking to you guys. Free to love my wife. Just free. I don't have to. I'm not afraid. I'm a son. God bless you. I'm forgiven. I'm secure. I'm fully alive. Well, I'll just share with that. So St. Irenaeus said, the glory of God is man fully alive. And I think that I've tasted that a little bit. You know, I don't think any human being has been fully alive except for Jesus Christ. But becoming more fully alive and unhindered. Paul talks about at the end of Acts that he proclaims the gospel unhindered. I'm like, man, that sounds pretty awesome. Because the enemy wants to hinder all of us. He wants to hinder us. He wants to stop us from proclaiming the truth. And so today, I stayed at the Transformation Project for a year, and I ended up meeting my wife, Nicole, my beautiful wife, Nicole, over here, who loves Jesus, which is amazing, and leads me closer to him every day. She's wonderful. My beautiful daughter who just left, baby, Beatrix, and Simon, you saw him kind of rowing around here. So at 40 years old, I had a two-year-old. I mean, that didn't happen. At 40 years old, we had a child. So I didn't think that was going to be a possibility for me. I thought that, you know, that time had come and gone, and God blessed us with a beautiful son named Simon. And it's funny, what a gift it is, and for those who are parents. So all day yesterday, we were playing David and Goliath. We'd trade back and forth, and he'd throw this ball. He wanted to get me, like, right between the eyes, too. But I'd fall, and then he'd be like, no, get back up, I'll try again. Or, like, just, like, thinking about times, like, I have a video, I turn around, he's on the table, and welcome to the show, Dad. And I'm like, where do you get this stuff? Where do you learn this? It's just hilarious. It's awesome. You know, it's such a gift. It's a living, you know? And so today, the generational curse that was in my family has been broken. My son, my daughter, my wife will never see me drink or use drugs, ever, ever. And so I have an opportunity. I have the opportunity to work and to minister to men and to create friendships in my life that will go on forever. Chris back here, love Chris. And so today I stand confident with who God says that I am. I have nothing to prove again. I'm a beloved son. I'm learning. I'm continuing to learn to be a good husband, a good dad, a good friend. I have hope for the future. And I truly believe that the best days are ahead of us. I truly believe that. That is not something I ever believed. So I'm going to run into, actually, if you're going to just show that next slide real quick. So that's my son, and there's Logie right there. There you are, buddy. And then if you go right to the next one, I'm just going to quickly try and go through this, and then we're going to play Oscar's baptism video, and then I'm going to invite Oscar up for a few minutes. So just to give you a quick overview, because some of you have probably heard of the Transformation Project, and you're like, yeah, it's a sober house. I don't know, whatever you think. But I just want to give you some context. We're a discipleship ministry, right? We do have a residential program, but we're also a community. So we have the men's community Bible study. We have the community nights that you guys have been a part of. It's a community of people that are stumbling towards Jesus, that are following him the best that we know how, and loving people at the same time. And so we have the residents right here in Westbrook, the reentry ministry, the recovery ministry. Cultivate is our 40-day discipleship intensive, where guys come in and they have 40 days of foundational building, right? They get challenged and they go through testing and trying and preparation. So don't do that. Sorry, I'm just getting used to this thing. I've only had it for a couple months. Let's see. And then the community discipleship, again, it's the men's community Bible study. So if anybody's here that wants to visit us on Thursday nights, we have food. It's 6:30. And we get into the Word and expect that God's going to speak to us, and he does, and he changes us. We have our Forge and Fellowship activities. So if anybody likes getting out into nature, fishing, kayaking, camping, we have a few trips a year where we go out and just, yeah, it's just great. It's not like super, like, we don't like rigid or anything. We just get out there and just, we're guys and we talk around the fire. And it's one of the most impactful things about the whole community and the whole ministry. And again, the community nights where we invite people in. So come hang out with us the last Friday of every month, depending on holidays. We get together, we have testimonies, we have fellowship, and it's just a lot of fun. We just celebrate what God's doing. I mentioned this too, not just at the Transformation Project, but in the community, because we are together the church, right? We have multiple churches that are represented at the Transformation Project. It's not like, you know, one church is it's owned by one church. We have multiple partners, and each community night is a different church that comes in and interviews somebody, you know, so they bring their, you know, their congregation sometimes too, and it's really cool. It's a good time. So before I invite Oscar up, we're going to, in just a moment, we'll play, but I just want to clarify. Somebody asked me the other day, what makes your program different than, like, and I say program, I don't even really like that word, because it's not a program. It's Jesus' work through people's lives, and that's what it is, and that's what's different. So it's not behavior modification. It's not just sobriety. It's not just get rid of the drug and the alcohol and everything's just all better. It's dealing with that stuff, right? So it's not just getting men out of jail or off substances. It's about helping men discover who they are in Christ. It's about replacing false identities with true ones. So men who were selfish becoming servant leaders. Men who are lost becoming sons. So because when a man knows who he is in Christ, everything changes. And when men change. And when families change, communities change. And so God rescued me, and he's also rescuing others. And so we're going to hear one story about it right now. Actually, you could play Oscar's baptism video. That'd be cool.
All right, so before I met Jesus, man, like I said, I was a heroin addict for 20 years, man. You know, my life consisted of manipulating people and taking advantage of them to feed the addiction that I let, like, consume my life, right? 2021, I lost somebody close to me, you know, and I just got to the point I gave up on myself, right? I just completely quit. So I finally found myself in complete despair. You know, I'm incarcerated. You know, I tried to commit suicide, you know, and they put me in segregation, and it's just, I think I fell so far, I had nowhere to look but up. And they gave me a Bible, and we moved forward from there, you know. So that's really, I read and read and read. And I mean, I'm talking 8-10 hours a day I was reading that book. When I got back in the general population, you know, I'm sitting there in my cell one night and I'm just like, look, man, you got a lot of promises in this book, right? Like, if you're really real, man, like, do something. Like, show me you're real and show me you exist or whatever. And I tell you what, man, it was like this overpowering sensation of, like, just freedom, right? I was incarcerated, mind you. Like, and I was just, I don't know how to explain it, but it was like all the guilt, all the shame, everything from my past was just gone. It was just all at once. So in that moment, I kind of, you know, I knew he was real. So baptism to me is he's, you know, he's going to take my broken past and wash it away. And it basically symbolizes that his death and resurrection, right? Our old life is dead and our new life, we're a new creation in his name. You know, as we walk in obedience with him, that's we're changed, you know, just like he did on the cross. He had to do all that to take all the sin away of the world because we couldn't do it. He was perfect. So he gave us a perfect example to follow. My name is Oscar Hall, and today I declare Jesus is Lord.
All right. So I'm going to invite Oscar up just to share a little bit more.
Hi, how are you guys? This is not my favorite thing to do. I'm just going to go ahead and be honest, right? So the cool part is one of the greatest things about this story is I didn't really do anything, you know? I mean, first off, I'd like to, like, praise God, right, because I'm here today. I mean, my life was a complete mess. Obviously, I can echo a lot of Josh's story, and he knows that because we spend a lot of time together and you guys don't really get to. The only difference is mine started at a lot younger age. I mean, I dove right in. By the time I was 14, I was already a full-blown addict, and crime was my lifestyle. That was my career. That's how I got through. I never knew God. My family never did. They were so broken. They didn't know any better. We didn't know. So in that time, man, when all this happened, you know, God kind of put Psalms on my heart, Psalms 118, which is, I shall not die, but I shall live, so I can proclaim everything the Lord has done for me, which is really fitting in this story, because if you go back to the beginning of Psalms 118, it's all about his love. You know, he talks about his love endures to Israel, to everybody, because that means it doesn't matter who you are, he loves you, right? So me personally, as a young kid, I can go back just like Josh, and it was the traumas from being a kid, you know, the first girlfriend that didn't, you know, act the way I expected is probably the best way for me to put it, right? She didn't do what I wanted. Or, you know, when I was 12, my parents split up, and I watched my dad try to commit suicide in front of me, and then they left too, because even though he was still there, he was so lost and gone, he really wasn't anyway. So I ended up in the local trap spot, and that's how I learned to survive. I stole my first car at 12. You know, and I'm not saying these things because I'm proud of them, although I would not change any of them. Because if I'm being 100% honest, remember, I didn't know who God was, right? So it took all these circumstances for me to be able to get to a point where I was up there and I'm like, look, there's got to be a better way. Because mind you guys, I made it a career, and if I'm being 100% honest, I was really good at it. I had beautiful homes and beautiful cars, and I had all the things that I thought I wanted. It's back to identity, right? Because we were all so lost in it. But what happened was I didn't even know what being lost in my identity was, because I built that identity. That's the problem, is I built it. It wasn't built in a foundation in God. And it's funny because in Psalms 118, he talks about that as well. You know, he talks about, you know, he was the cornerstone, you know, and that's what I've built my life on today. When I say I mean him, because really I ain't done much. And I think that's important for us to express, because getting sober changed nothing. You know what I mean? I couldn't change anything. I tried over and over again. So getting sober didn't change me. You know what I mean? Talking to different people didn't change me. God did. That's the only thing that changed me. And what happened was, it still takes time. It's like, yo, you guys saw the picture of Josh, right? And I've used this before in Bible study, and if it offends somebody, I'm really sorry. But I look at Jesus like a dishwasher, right? The longer we spend in him, the brighter we become. And it really is 100% facts. You know, it just is, you know? And the cool part is, so I'm getting ready this morning, and I've been wrestling with it. You know, like Friday, I'm up all night, and I can't sleep. And I'm like, because I think I know what I want to say. And so I got it all figured out. And I wake up this morning, he says, nope. I said, what do you mean? Like, I'm so lost now, right? So it's kind of cool. So I'm reading a devotional this morning, and it's talking about a new life doesn't begin with change. It begins in Christ. Period. You know what I mean? Because I tried to change and that didn't work. So the cool part is he led me to Luke 15. Sorry, guys. Give me a second. All right. So it's kind of cool because obviously this is the story of the prodigal son. And he gets to a spot where he says he finally came to his senses. He said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food, enough to spare. And here I'm dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both you and heaven, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me as your hired servant. He says, so he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him, right? And the whole thing is, so think about what I said. Like, my family, right, they broke me. Or so I thought. So that's why I dove into drugs. Like, I can be 100% tell you that's exactly why I found my comfort in drugs. I found it in the local trap spot because I fit in. You know what I mean? But in the end, I was searching for a family that always been there. I just didn't know who he was. So it's important that Psalms 118, I shall not die, but I shall live, so I can proclaim what he did. Because at the end of the day, who's to say if 20 years ago somebody didn't tell me that this was possible, I wouldn't try to live a different life. And I'm not saying that I'd change any of it, but I think that's important for all of us to know. You know, I appreciate you guys and bless you.
Nice. Thank you. Amazing.
Dead rise from the grave, you have it now. If you've never seen perfect love break chains, you have it now. If you've never seen mercy make depression fade, you have now. Oh, if you never looked a miracle in the face, you have it now. Cause if you knew my past, if you knew where I've been, if you knew what he brought me through, you would lift your hands, you'd sing and dance. You wouldn't miss this chance, though you thank him too. Cause my life's the proof of what he can do. Cause I'm still breathing now, I can't help but shout. I gotta let it out and let praise break through. Jesus' name, you have it now. If you've never seen addiction conquered by grace, you have it now. Oh, if you've never seen a generational curse break, you have now. Oh, if you've never looked a miracle in the face, you have it now. Never do one. You've done more than enough. You're all I need. You have my love. Oh Lord, if you never do one more thing for me, you.
I mean, that about sums it up, for sure. I guess the last slide would be great. So, yeah, so if how can you guys help? How can we do this together? Come hang out with us. Come be part of the community. Again, it's not like, oh, it's one church over here, one church over there. We are together the church, and I think that's what Paul talked about. It's like, wait, who are you baptizing? It has nothing to do with me or this person over here. It's Jesus Christ. And so let's come hang out with us. Share what you heard today. Share about the Transformation Project. Go check out the website. Go check out our Facebook page. Follow us. You can go on the website. You can sign up for the mailing list so you can get the newsletters and stuff. Pray. You guys could be praying if something comes on your mind as you're in your prayer time. For the residents at the Transformation Project, the staff, the future, the different families involved. If you want to volunteer, Here it is. I stuck some of these out on the table out front. I'll leave them here. These are volunteer opportunities, and if you open them up, you can see different ways, a couple of different ones, even just showing up to a men's Bible study, right? By the way, the men's Bible study is people in recovery, people not in recovery, young, old, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be in recovery. You don't have to have history with substances or anything like that. And there's a lot of guys who don't. They just come and hang out with us. So if you want to provide a meal for our Bible studies, again, it's every Thursday, but right now, like, we have a woman who provides a meal once a month, and we have Westport House of Pizza who supports us that way as well. So those are some ways. I'll put those are on the table. And if you're able to support us financially, and if you can do that, that's amazing as well. That helps sponsor residents in the program. It helps. We have new resident welcome packages, different things like that. And so, just thank you guys. Thank you for standing with us. Thank you for considering joining us on this mission. And also, again, I just want to ask you to really consider some of the things that you heard today. You know, I feel like for me, sometimes I'll hear something and then I'll put my head on my pillow and go, I feel like the Spirit's kind of going, hey, that thing, listen to that, you know? Sort of pull that thread a little bit and be like, okay, God, where maybe in my life have I built up a veneer? Where in my life is there maybe some false identity, you know? Because He wants life for us. He wants us to live and walk in what's true. And so let me just pray one more time and we'll let you guys go. Father, you're really good. You're awesome. I'm grateful, again, Lord, that you, the way that you love us, and I can't even put into words how awesome that is, Lord. The experiences that I've had in my life, the experiences that I watch other people have around me, Lord, I ask that every single person in this room would experience you in a new way, Lord, that you would reveal yourself in a way that would be undefinable, it's sure that it's you, Father. I ask that you would do that, and just continue to walk with us, continue to strengthen us, and you will be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.